Hello! I am so excited. I'm so excited because we're into the next season and we're storming our way. Now, as you know, the Superwomen Can podcast is the latest podcast to hit, and it's about revealing how we can help successful professional women of color show up in their full power and authentically lead. The sad fact is that many women are underrepresented in leadership and boardrooms, and we need to just rock up and show up. Women of color are spinning so many plates, from raising families to climbing the career ladder and hitting, I would say, not just glass ceiling floor ceilings, concrete ceilings, but there is a thing that sets them apart. They are indeed super women, and we know that super women can show up in their full power, authentic selves, and really shine. Now, like I mentioned, ooh, I am so excited because we have an amazing and inspirational woman coming on to the Superwoman Can podcast, and we have Dr. Norma Hollis. Now, please, without further ado, please introduce yourself.
Well, thank you. I love your enthusiasm and you're wonderful. You're a great role model for superwomen, and thank you for having me as one of them. I am referred to as the godmother of authenticity because I spent 30 years figuring out myself, actually, and then realizing that what I had done was created a whole system, a whole process for helping people become authentic. I actually started when I was 28 years old, and maybe many of you listening are around that age. And that's when you maybe like myself, I realized that I was living my parents' life, that my mother's version of who she thought a Black woman should be in America. And I was married, we had cars, we had great jobs, a beautiful house, and I was miserable. And I didn't know what to do with myself because I just followed along as my parents guided me without taking time to understand who I am, because nobody teaches self-awareness to young people. So I said, let me get out of this. Let me figure out who I am. Therefore, I'll know what I'm supposed to do with myself. Didn't realize it would take 30 years of studying authenticity, studying me to learn myself. And so that's where I spent 30 years researching or really being led. It was kind of through my inner voice that I was led through that way. And then 12 years figuring out what is this that I've created? And then 3 years figuring out, so what now do I do with it? And that brings me to where I am now. So it's great to be here at this time
Oh,
in
I'm
my
so excited. And I'm guessing that you've written books about what you do as well.
Oh, I've written several books. I've written a book for each one of the dimensions that you see up there. There's tw nine of these books, one for each one of the things you see behind me, the box you see behind me. And I've turned all of those into and on into digital programs, online programs. I used to own a speaker bureau. I was the first Black woman to own a speaker bureau for Black speakers. And I have a book called The Process to Become a Professional Speaker. We're getting ready to modify that one. And then one of my signature books is this one, 10 Steps to Authenticity, which I actually wrote in a month because I had a speaking engagement and I needed to have it ready. And I have one more that you can find on Amazon, which is called Blueprint to Engagement. And it's about authentic leadership, more for a corporate environment. And I have some other things that I've done. I used to be an early childhood. I have some books I've written for about young children's spirituality. I just like to write. I mainly write programs for human development and I turn them into processes and training programs. Yeah.
Impressive. Wow. We're definitely super honored to have you here. And just behind, for those who are listening and not actually on the video side of things, I'm going to say that I can see that she has an authenticity grid right behind her, and I'm trying to work out what they all are. So tell me what's behind you, so those who are listening and also able to see on the video can understand it, because we got to start with that. Come on, tell us.
Well, it started out with me dissecting myself, and I found nine energies within me that I associated with different animals because I could understand the energies better. And then that started my 30-year journey of dissecting that, and that turned into my authenticity grid. And so what it essentially says is that each of us have an inner voice that no one hears but us. We have an outer voice, which is how other people perceive us. When people see you, they make an immediate impression about who you are with not a clue what's going on the inside. And then we have an expressive voice that represents how you live your life day to day, your habits, and who you have become. Those are the vertical parts of this nine-dimension grid. The horizontal parts are first think, think has to do with an energy that we all have to do. We have to be able to think in order to move our lives forward. And everything on the think horizontal represents gifts that were given to you at birth. On the inner voice side, you were given a sixth sense. On the outer voice side, you were given DNA. On the expressive voice side, you were given natural gifts and talents. The second horizontal is communicate, and that represents how you show yourself to the world. On the inner voice, it's about your values and how they come across. On the outer voice, it's about your relationships, your quality and quantity relationships. And on the expressive voice, it's about your likability and how you connect and build rapport with other people. And then the bottom line is do, and that represents the activities you need to partake in the world to get things done, to be joyful and to make money. On the inner voice side, it's about your drive, your inspiration. That's how you're driven. Inspiration from the inside, more important than motivation from the outside. It has to come from the inside to really move you to do something. The outer voice is all about your joy and abundance. It's called net wealth, but we don't look at net wealth as just money. It's about what brings you joy and gives you abundance in life. And then the expressive voice is about your lifestyle and the habits and your behaviors on a day-to-day basis. So all of those represent the authenticity grid. There are nine energies that we all engage in, and people can take my authenticity assessment to get a feel for how their energies are aligned. We look at the word alignment and integration, because you have to integrate all these energies in your life so that they're like second nature. And you're vulnerable in some, you're strong in others. To recognize that, you take my authenticity assessment, and that helps you see where you're at. It's authenticityassessment.com, or you can find it on my website at normahollis.com, about halfway down the homepage. You can learn more about authenticity, the grid.
Wow. So there will be a link that we'll be posting for Dr. Norma's actual whole authenticity grid. So do that quiz because I'm going to go and do it. I'm really intrigued to find out where I sit in all of this. And if you can't, it's so colorful behind you. It's just so inspiring. Thank you for sharing that. I can't wait to look into it. Now, on that subject, you mentioned that you took a long time to find yourself. And I'm guessing that there was a time where that wasn't easy. I mean, I know that I've gone through things and I've found finding myself quite challenging. Take us through that journey.
Well, journey is exactly what it was, one step after another. And it actually started when I was 8 years old, because I woke up one morning, the 4th of July, or the 5th of July, rather, with spots on my pillow as a result of a hole in my eardrum from an infection. And the only way they could stop the infection, the antibiotics did not work or gave me hives. And they found a solution that they had to put in, drop in my ear, and it felt like acid on the inside of my head. It was extremely painful. Had to go back and have it done repeatedly. And that was followed by 2 years of earaches that just would not budge. Shots, drops, nothing would stop them until my grandfather prayed over my ear. That's the only way the pain stopped. And so that got me thinking and wondering why adults don't get it, because they weren't really as attentive to the deep level of pain that I had, nor giving me, seeing that I got some therapy or coaching or some kind of coaching wasn't really popular at that time, but therapy was. And of course, no one did therapy. But how does an 8-year-old learn how to maneuver the world in the consequence of such great pain? So anyway, I worked through that. At 28, I mentioned that was the next phase that moved me into that. And so I was really very intent. I've always been led by a very strong inner voice. And I've always known that I came to the planet with a purpose. And I talked about it as a young child, but they kind of thought I was crazy. But I tell my sister now, multiple decades later, see, it never left. It just got more and more. And look what I've done with it. So it's by following my inner voice that I did that. I did have another major obstacle about 8 years ago when my husband was found murdered and decapitated. And of course, that was quite an experience. And that was at the apex of when I was developing this and figuring it out. But we
Oh
just
God.
plugged right through it and just worked through it. They still haven't found the perpetrator, although they're still looking as far as I know. But that was a very challenging experience. We all have different challenges in one level or another that come about us that move us out of, that can move you off your path if you allow it to. I allowed me to pause. It happened in June, and I put it all on a spiritual perspective, which I always do. But by Christmas time, I was a little depressed. And I gave myself 3 months. I told myself, you can mourn all you want until March 31st. But April 1st, you got to get back up and get back in the game. And that's exactly what I did. I programmed myself to do that. I grieved. And in fact, I had went to China a couple, about 2 years after after he passed. And I took a picture of him and buried it under a tree that had an orange flower, which is my favorite color. And then, you know, made my peace with it and just moved on. So yeah, so we have to do those ritual type things and talk to ourselves and keep ourselves healthy because we're superwomen and we have to be that.
Yeah, we are.
We don't have to be that, but and we are that in multiple ways. Superwoman can be just a woman who raises her children and does it with great consciousness to help children, because I think the way we change the world is to help children change their perspective so that they're not, every time I go into a restaurant, I always see children in high chairs with their phones glued to the screen, to the point, and I'm very concerned about what that's going to mean as children get older. Are they going to understand what reality is? They had a situation here in the United States where a 6-year-old took a gun to school and shot his teacher. And I imagine they saw it, you know, on one of the video games and didn't understand the difference between that and reality. So that's going to be a real issue. And there's some other issues I've learned about that are going to be real challenges that parents, mothers particularly, need to be aware of so that they can counterbalance that. So we raise healthy children in a healthier society. It's a real challenge right now.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go to you've that is a massive thing that you've gone through with your husband passing, and especially in that manner. So I just want to just give you my condolences for that particular part of your life, really. But something kind of struck me when you were speaking, and one of the things is that you said is, I said to myself, I'm gonna allow myself to grieve for this period. And I, we you know, we've always been told, well, people say different things, don't they? They said, oh, you know, after a year, after 3 months. How did you determine this was my time, this is what I'm going to give myself, and then that's it? Because that would have been quite difficult to kind of put a time on grief.
Well, you know, I didn't really grieve the way many people do when he first passed. I think I was just kind of numb because it just happened, you know, as it's all of a sudden I was out of town and came back. And if I had been there, you know, it might have happened to me as well, you know. And then I'm such a spiritually led person that I put it from a spiritual perspective more than I did on a personal perspective. So, but Christmas brought the personal side out. And then it was a more of a deeper grief that many people feel right away. So I just, you know, I've always been one who managed my emotions. I think I learned that at 8 when I had so much pain. When I had that pain when I was 8, I remember my mother telling me that I had to go back to see the doctor and have that treatment in my ear again. And I said, well, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? She said, I didn't want you worrying about it. Because I knew you'd worry about it, and she's right. And since I had to go back and get it done again and again, I learned to have fun in the in-between times. So I think I learned to manage my emotions at that early age because I had to manage, okay, the pain's gonna come again. So okay, I get to the pain. And now, okay, the pain is over, so I can have fun now, you know. So I think I taught myself that. And over my life as a youth, I did teach myself a lot about when so-and-so happens, so-and-so. So when you walk by and you see whatever, then you'll remember to do this. So I trained myself that way at a very early age. And so I think that's a part of the same thing. I think we have, that's that think, communicate, do. I thought about it, I communicated with myself, and what I did was give myself permission, give myself a time frame, rationally figure out what it is that I needed, how much time was good. And I had a business at that time, so I couldn't wallow in the grief. It's not like I had a job where a check was coming every month or every week or whatever. But I had to get back in the game. Otherwise, you know, there were too many consequences. So I figured 3 months was an adequate time that I could wallow in it. Because, you know, when you, I don't know if you know, if you've had someone close to you die, there's a certain seduction to grief. Grief will seduce you to wallow in it. It's a certain feeling that can overtake you. I imagine this could be addictive, like addictive drugs sometimes can be. And then there's, you know, how people treat you when you're, oh, I'm so sorry for you know, and all that kind of stuff. So I didn't want to fall into that trap. And I had really good friends who helped me to understand that and to, partner with me on that journey. So those were the things that made it make sense. 3 months made sense because I wanted to be respectful for the 27 years we had been together, and I wanted to allow myself to purge it from my system as much as possible. Of course, it never fully purges, and there's always times when it comes back in the most unexpected ways. But I knew that's what I had to do, and I knew I could, and so I did. So.
Wow, so inspirational and very difficult. Thank you very much for sharing that. And yes, I've not gone through what you've gone through, no, nowhere near, but I have lost people along the way and they have hit hard. And actually, I've lost not long ago my granddad, actually. And actually, I thought that my, dad and everyone else around me would take care of everything, but I had to be the one to take care of it. And that was a bit of a shock. And that was the numb feeling because you have to just take care of stuff. You don't get time to go through that grief. And then there is a point where you go, right, I have a grief. Let me take the time to grieve. So, and that takes courage. So you've shown courage to do that because you could have just carried on that numbness and probably picked up your work and carried on. But that feeling, I've not dealt with this, probably would have lingered inside of you, knowing I need to deal with it. So it's courage. You took courage. So that's transformational. You mentioned about children. Funnily enough, I was at the doctor's today because my daughter woke up screaming. And that was just resonating with me because she screamed with ear pain. And I took her to the doctor's unexpectedly today because she had infections in both ears. And they said, just leave it and it might just leak out. And I was just like, she's in pain. I don't want to leave it. They've given her antibiotics, but they said, give, they've given it up, but said, please wait like 48 hours, see what happens. See, it's good for her immune system. And I was just like, I'm going to just go with my intuition and check in that and say, what's my intuition say with this? Because she's in pain. So thank you for sharing that. And also, as a mother, I'm almost six children. I had five in 5 years, and I have now six and seven. I know.
Poor woman, I bless you,
So,
bless you.
so in terms of what you're saying is spot on in terms of I'm very quite conscious of things like devices. So I don't have devices when we're eating, like absolutely no way. Like as soon as a device goes on my kitchen's table, it's off. This is your opportunity to connect with your siblings. This is your opportunity to enjoy what you're eating, for your body to digest and enjoy and program that it's eating and that you get to enjoy it. If you don't do that, you keep eating without realizing or enjoying life around you. So I'm big on that, definitely. But I think there's still a lot to learn. I'm quite young in terms of I've got a lot of kids, but I'm still quite a young mother. My oldest is only seven. So I'm still learning along the way and learning from individuals like yourself who continue to instill such amazing knowledge. So interestingly, it'd be good for you to share what, because you said children kind of spark you. I'll be interested to know. There'll be mothers that are listening, super women. And I always say, superwomen, we also have kryptonite. Which means that we do have weaknesses. Superman doesn't mean we're free of weaknesses or free from fault or flaws. We have flaws. We're just human like everyone else. But I'm interested to know your how your experience translates to children.
Well, just you didn't know that my degree, my bachelor's degree, is in early childhood, child and family life sciences. I directed preschool programs for 20 years. I did an early intervention program. That's when I started doing programs. That was the first program that I wrote. I had a company called Comprehensive Learning Institute, and we took children through, I had it in three different states, three different cities in two states. And we took children through a battery of experiences to assess them in their fine gross motor, their speech and language, their, I don't remember the others, learning disabilities. And we gave parents reports before computers were around to help them know how to help their children in those areas. Second, and I also worked with children's spirituality, because all of this was brand new. When I went to college, the early childhood program I was in was the very first one that they ever had. That's been my passion all of my life, and I'm kind of circling back to it now that I've got my grid done and what have you. So I want to say a few things about young children. The first thing I want to say, and this I'm coming more from a children's spirituality perspective, because I think that one of our responsibilities as super women, Black women particularly, is to help children connect with their spiritual side, with their inner voice, because that's where their guidance comes from. So the first thing I want to say is between 2 and 4 are critical years to listen to your child and record them. Those are the times when the children will tell you why they're here on the planet and what they may remember from a past life. People may not believe in past lives, but I'm going to get to that in just a minute. So if you recognize at age two, children first learn, they first start speaking, okay? They now can make sentences, they can say things, and they frequently will say what they most remember before they got here, which is about their purpose. I remember telling this to decades ago to a woman in the Catholic, I worked for the Catholic Church for a very brief time, and I mentioned to her about that, and she said, "Oh my gosh, thank you for telling me. Now I know why my son told me, Mommy, when I was here before, I was a monk." And she looked it up to see monks weren't here in the 15th century or something. And she said, "The time before that, I lived in Alaska," or something like that. And she says, "Now I understand that." So you want to record those things because they stop saying them around four when they start to learn how to read. Children are born in their right brain. The right brain is the creative brain. If you go back to Egyptian times, you look at all the communication was through hieroglyphics, which is pictures. And so we're born with the right brain. Children are born with the right brain. Gifts that they express earlier are visual spatial, the ability to like color and stuff, and they like the mobiles and they like to play with them, and they learn how to draw and they like the colors. Bodily kinesthetic, they have the ability to move around easily. You see, I in fact I'm doing a presentation in about 3 weeks on the gifts and talents of young children. I just got some videos of a young 2-year-old on a skateboard going up and down little hills and stuff. And it's like amazing the balance that she has. I have another picture of a man holding his child in his hand. The child can't be, it's probably younger than a year. And the child is strong enough to not even fall, to stand up while the father moves him around on his hand. It's amazing. And I have another one, a 2-year-old who can sound out words. And like he can sound out the word alligator or coconut and cheese. It's amazing. Another one who can has a holds a pencil in the wrong way or a crayon and draws pictures of faces with great skill. So children will show you at this young age what their gifts are as long as we allow them to express them. Oftentimes they lose their authenticity at that young age because they go to preschool and they learn that they can sing and the teacher and the kids like it, or they like to make noise on a drum and everybody likes it. And they go home and they sing and they make noise. And mama says, "Will you please be quiet? I had a long day. I'm tired. Go watch TV or go get your device." You don't want to do that. This is what, and then they figure, "I guess I can't be myself because it makes mommy upset." And they sulk away and they go further and further away from the person that they were born to be. So that's one thing I want to say is to record them. They say that character, well, character is developed in the first 5 years. So the things you say, the things they do, they're going to remember those all of their life. That's also the time that they show you without editing who they truly are and what their gifts are. So you want to look at the work of Dr. Howard Gardner. He's the one who's written about that. I'm going to be talking about this a lot more in the future now that I have my program developed and others to run it. This is where my passion lies and where I'm going to be talking about. So the next thing I want to share just for a minute is about the super children that are coming. So you have children that are coming into the world now who will tell you what their purpose is. They will tell you why they're here. They will tell you about past lives. Some even tell you that they're aliens. You have all kinds of things children will say to you. And all I want to say to parents is embrace it. If you can, record it. Do not diminish what the child says. Do not tell them they're crazy. You know, when I came to on the planet, I kept talking about, "Well, God told me this, and God told me to do that, and God said this, and I'm going to do this." And they looked at me like I was crazy. And they even had somebody check me out, and the advice they gave was to ignore it. But it never went away. It just developed it. I never let it go away because, and I never went to see anybody to tell me that I'm wrong and try to change my mind. Because here I am decades later, and I've taken that voice that's spoken within me, and I've created something that's here to help people all around the world. I have people around the world a part of my program. That never would have happened if they had convinced me to do otherwise, to do what society says. Society exists for its own continuation, and it's not always in our best individual interest. So it's up to us as parents, as mothers particularly, to be sensitive to that. So when you record these young children, with the things that they say that are unusual that they're probably going to forget when they start school, because school gets them in their left brain, which is where they teach you the language and they teach you the math and they teach you to rote memory. Then they snub your creativity. So when they get 12, 13, 14, 15, et cetera, and they want to create, find a career, let them listen to what they said when they didn't know what they were saying and they expected you to understand it. Because then you will understand it more. You will have seen a decade or two of what they've done and who they've been. And you can help interpret it, what they, how their life has proceeded in that time with what they said when they didn't even understand that there was censorship to what they were saying. And then it's going to make a difference. And this is extremely important given the way that artificial intelligence is coming into our world. The young children that are coming up now are going to have a much more difficult time because humanity is not being respected because there's so many of us on the planet. So the individual's value is diminished in so many ways, which is contributing to all the violence and what have you that we're seeing. So I hope that little soliloquy that I've shared with you of wisdom hopefully will help and impact some parents in terms of how you're raising your children. You have a real heavy responsibility, especially in those first 7 years. So after seven, they start thinking on their own a lot more. And then they start to challenge you in different ways. So you really want to make the recordings before they realize that they can challenge you. They don't always know that when they're very young. They're just listening because mommy is God. Mommy feeds them, mommy prepared, provides for them, mommy and daddy. You know, you guys are the God figure. So, you know, just remember that no one teaches self-awareness, but you can teach it and you can guide them to be themselves. Authenticity means being yourself and connecting the unseen side of who we are to the seen side of who we are and integrating them and then allowing that to blossom and become who it's meant to be in the world.
Wow, like that's just amazing. So I wanted to share some things with you because I kind of really resonated. I'm spiritual, I believe I'm a Christian, I believe in God, I believe in all that good jazz. And one of the things that I remember when I was young is I remember having a dream, and I went to my mom and I said, I had a dream that God was giving me messages, and I was his secretary typing, and then I had to give these messages to all these different people. And she just went, oh, good, that's your purpose. You're a messenger of God. Simple. And then after that, I just believed it. I'm a messenger of God. So I do have a sixth sense where I sometimes get messages for people and I will share those messages outwards. And I love that gift, but I've known about that gift from when I was a really young girl. Now, my daughter, who is now seven, she also has that gift, but like tenfold. So when she was about 3 years old, she came to me and says, Mommy, you have twins in your belly, a boy and a girl. Long story short, she was correct. I had no idea. I gave birth to boy and girl. She told me they were going to be born early. She told me all these different things that I would never have any idea. No one would be able to tell you. I didn't even know I was pregnant. And they were born early. They were born at 26 weeks. But because she told me they were going to grow up, she described them. She told me what they were going to look like. I knew they were going to be fine. They were going to be absolutely fine. They're now four. They're fine. 26 weeks. They were fitted into the palm of my hands. They were fine. So that's interesting. And I'm just like looking at my children and saying, I'm not too sure what her gift is, but right now she just finished writing her first book. She's just, 7 years old, about to publish her first book. Her intellect is out of this world. She's operating three or four levels above herself. She's amazing intellect, but also she's tapped into that spiritual side. And I nurture that because my mum did the same with me. I nurture that. It's good. I would love to spend more time with you to go. I'm going to be listening to my kids a lot more. But funnily enough, the babysitter always said, listen to kids. They are the ones that tell you stuff. So my 2-year-old is a chatterbox. I have no idea what his skills are, but he does talk a lot. He talks a lot.
Got a
And he's been
verbal
talking since he was one. Say again.
yeah he's got a verbal linguistic gift
Yeah, he
verbal
about the
linguistic
same as
gift
my daughter actually, but he talks a lot and he's been talking clearly and fluently since he was one. He's two now. You wouldn't think that he's operating beyond my twins who are nearly four. My twins, one, we believe she's going to be a singer. All she does is scream. Like, just go. We say she's going to use that for God's gift because it's got to be used in and channeled in some positive way. And then my son is always throwing. That's all he does. He will throw anything. And we just say something to do with his arm. Something to do with his arm, whether it's throwing a basketball or something, but it's got to be something physical. And then the one in between, he loves computers. He's just computer whiz. So I look at that and I see something happening. And I believe what you're saying is correct. We do need to look at their gift from a very early age. I really want to like follow you and find out more, especially when it comes to children, just because I've got so many. And I'm sure those who are listening want to do the same. So just want to share that there will be some links on here. You've given us so much tips, and I really actually don't want to end this. We are coming to the point where we do need to end right now. And I think that well, you, this is going to be a repeat. We need to get you back on again to give us more of the good stuff and more of what you learned, because that's, it seemed like you're a person that will constantly be absorbing new stuff. So we'll definitely invite you back on. But before you do go, if you were to write yourself a letter in 10 years' time, what would you be saying to yourself?
I would congratulate myself for making for what I've done. I made a decision 2 weeks ago. My company is looking for investors because we're ready to grow. I'm moving away from what I've been doing and bringing people on to do it. And we had an investor that offered that wanted to invest $3 million in my company. And I would tell myself, congratulations for not accepting that, because I did not accept it because they wanted to put a zip clause and not allow me to talk about some of the things I'm talking about now, my spiritual understandings. And I'm on the planet to share those spiritual understandings. So I would congratulate myself for making that decision and for all the things that transpired because of that, because now I can really encourage others that are seeking to be entrepreneurs or seeking investors to really put their values first. And I'm also going to congratulate myself for all the work that I've done to impact and to build superwomen and to help mothers really understand what's going on. So I've only scratched the surface with you. I'm glad you'll say you're going to bring me back, because I'm going to share some things to you when we're off the air that maybe we'll share later when we come back, because there is a lot more to what I'm saying. I'm only scratching the surface of the information that could be extremely valuable. And that's exactly what the $3 million group does not want me to share. So, because they were afraid that it would impact, it would affect their investment. And they also wanted me to divest myself of all but 10% of my company. In other words, they wanted to do what they want to do with my authenticity grid. And that's not what it's for. So I just would be congratulating myself and jumping up and down and shouting the successes and all the things that I've accomplished in the world and how I've helped other people to really step into their authenticity from multiple perspectives.
Thank you, Dr. Norma. Now, where can we find you?
NormaHollis.com is the website. You'll learn a lot about the different things. The early childhood stuff I had published years ago, but since I've been away for it for a while, I've not published it now, but I will be getting back to that sometime this year. I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, and Norma Hollis or Norma T. Hollis, one or the other. Please do reach out. Take the assessment and you'll have the link there. And I'm particularly looking for speakers and coaches from all around the world who are interested in authenticity and want to bring it into your practice. We have a program where we certify coaches to use my assessment with your coaching clients. We also have a program to help for speakers to speak about authenticity to corporate and other organizational clients. So we're looking for more people to expand as we look for our new investors and looking for people who can help us take this around the world. We have people in South America, South Africa, China, Europe, Canada, and we're looking for more people in each of those areas, as well as more, because my assignment is to get this in as many places in the world as possible. So, any
And
help
I
you all want
believe
to
that
bring
it
and come
will.
on. Yeah, I
Yeah, that
appreciate
it will. Bring it on. I can't wait to see this across the globe.
it.
So,
Yes.
with that, I want to say thank you very much for being a part of the Superwomen Can podcast. You are an inspiration. Thank you. And for those listening, please do share this, put your notifications on, subscribe, and definitely go down below, wherever it is, or up below, and get those links and go and connect with Dr. Norma. Thank you so much.